It is Friday, July 26, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Callums.
And I'm Yitzhak Krahita. Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. Support for KUAF comes from the Fayetteville Underground, promoting the visual arts in Northwest Arkansas, supporting artists working to the highest standards, and contributing to the advancement of Fayetteville as a destination city for the arts. Information regarding art shows, concerts, and more available at FayettevilleUnderground.com.
On this edition of Ozarks, take three musicians who all live in different cities and have never played together before, put them in a room for a day, and then cut that first rehearsal short because one of the musicians' parked car is hit. Then they play that first gig the next day. That's what happened as the trio pianos and drums came to the Furman Garner Performance Studio. We'll hear how their improbable story turned into a band.
Plus, one of the state's most popular news blogs is going behind a paywall. Kyle talks to Alan Leverett, the publisher of the Arkansas Times, about the changing face of digital journalism.
First, Arkansas lawmakers heard concerns yesterday afternoon from the heads of several community health clinics who say one aspect of the private option will mean they won't be able to be reimbursed well enough to stay open. The Public Health Committee met for an update on the plan to expand health care coverage in the state. Kathy Grisham is executive director of Community Clinic in Northwest Arkansas. She says one waiver currently allowed under the plan would cost her a lot of money.
I ran the numbers looking at my audited figures from 2012. And under the private option that's proposed, we would be losing between $500,000 and $1.5 million.
Lawmakers expressed concern about talk that a lawsuit could be filed, which would have an impact on implementation of the private option. However, John Selig, director of the Department of Human Services, says he's confident a change can be implemented.
These community health centers, obviously, they serve as a safety net, particularly in the rural areas. And they have additional costs, additional requirements from the federal government. And they're concerned that if all they get is a payment from insurance companies that's comparable to what they normally pay, that won't be enough to cover their costs.
Selig says the state's private option proposal will be submitted for approval on August 2nd, with officials hoping for federal approval by October.
State lawmakers are looking for ways to administer the death penalty after Attorney General Dustin McDaniel cast doubt on the state's ability to carry out the sentence. McDaniel told a joint judiciary committee hearing earlier this week that a combination of litigation, unavailability of the lethal drug, and a shortage of medical personnel willing to carry out an execution led him to believe the system is broken. At the center of the issue is the shortage of lethal doses. There are no domestic manufacturers of the drug, and the FDA has restricted its import. Senator Jeremy Hutchinson of Benton asked if domestic sources could be found.
It's simply a matter of supply, that there's nothing that can be done. Are there any states that have an overabundance of supplies or a supply that they ended the capital punishment and have a leftover supply that would not have to be transported or brought in from a foreign country?
Ray Hobbs, the director of the Department of Correction, answered Hutchinson's question.
Senator, they do. They're not sharing it with us. okay. And most of it is expired like ours had expired. So there is a time limit for them.
The state has the option of using its previous method, the electric chair, or weighing the litigation risks of implementing firing squads or the gas chamber. McDaniel says he believed those options would come with equal, if not more, baggage than lethal injection.
Though Ozark Regional Transit has been managed by a contracted company for the Transit Authority's modern history, that stands to change after this year. Last night, the ORT Board of Directors voted to take management of the two-county transit provider in-house. Jerry Van Hoos, chair of the ORT board, says First Transit has managed the transit system effectively through a period of growth.
And they've been a lot of help to us and helped us grow the system, because when we started, we really didn't have any management expertise. So that's been for about 10 years. Well, the way the federal law is, after a certain period of time, because we do have federal dollars in our operations, we would be required to open the solicitation up to include other management firms and make a selection.
So Van Hoos says the board felt, with First Transit's contract expiring at the end of the year, now is an opportune time to take over managing the day-to-day operations of the transit system.
And we could save some money, even though we feel our money was really well spent with this other firm. They've done us a really good job. But we felt like we could move forward with the management team we have in place, and hopefully we can hire that person. And so we'll have about $150,000, $200,000 a year that we can put in providing more rides for our clients.
The resolution passed last night included a provision to ask current ORT Executive Director Joel Gardner, who First Transit moved to Northwest Arkansas late last year, to remain with the Transit Authority after the contract with First Transit expires.
Earlier this week, the Arkansas Highway Transportation Department announced its schedule of the first 30 state road projects to be contracted using proceeds from the new half-cent state sales tax. The first six projects are all in Northwest Arkansas. Danny Straisley with the Arkansas Highway Department says three of those projects are portions of the Bella Vista Bypass, while the other three are improvements to Interstate 540. Straisley says the schedule for the projects was less about priority or precedence and more about which projects are already prepped for construction.
A lot of these projects have existed for years as studies. Some of them have just been sitting on the shelf just waiting for funding, which is pretty much what the Bella Vista bypass has seen. There are other projects that are further along in the design process. The surveys have been completed. The design is more than 50% complete, and they can bring those projects to contract a lot sooner than some of the other projects.
Also, during the meeting in which the projects were announced, the Highway Commission awarded a contract for expanding Interstate 540 to three lanes between Weddington Drive and Porter Road in Fayetteville.
The Advancement Division at the University of Arkansas finished the fiscal year with a balanced budget. Yesterday, the university announced when the books on the 2013 fiscal year are closed at the end of this month. The division will end the year with $13.4 million in expenditures. The balanced budget is reportedly a result from cutbacks in every department, including leaving vacant positions unfilled. In addition, $13.3 million has been approved for the division's 2014 fiscal year budget. Officials anticipate closing the books on the 2013 fiscal year with a $30 million surplus and a liquidity of $160 million, the highest in the history of the university.
After winning three games against the Arkansas Travelers in Springdale, the first place Northwest Arkansas Naturals last night started a seven-game stretch on the road. The Nats won the first of four against the Springfield Cardinals 6-0. Play continues tonight in Springfield.
Cloudy tonight, slight chance of showers and a low in the lower 60s in Northwest Arkansas. 50% chance of rain and lows in the mid-60s for the Arkansas River Valley. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, highs from the lower 80s in Northwest Arkansas to around 88 for the River Valley. And for Saturday night, partly cloudy, lows from 58 to 65.